another edition of What Women Binge. This time we have my good friend in the house, Jason Priestley.
Hey guys.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice
to be here in your lovely
living room.
Garden.
Do you feel like you're in LA?
Filled. Yeah, I do actually.
A little bit.
Have
like
you ever been to her house
theory.
In LA? This is kind of what it looks
no,
like.
No, I don't
no,
think so.
I was never at your house.
We only hang out in Nashville
right.
or Tahoe.
That's right.
You've been in my house in Tahoe.
That's right, I have.
It doesn't actually have pink windows at the house in LA. They've just, apparently our light
they've bleached.
Faded it to this.
They've bleached. Yeah, she made it look like my house in LA a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's good.
But wait, yeah, so you've been in my house in Tahoe because we did a, let's just jump right into Christmas time.
We should just do it.
Let's
I want
right
to talk about
it.
Our Christmas movie. I've been dying to talk to you about our Christmas movie
okay.
since we did our Christmas movie.
Yeah.
We were like, it was 2020, right? We were like up and running like immediately, like
it was,
June.
It was 20.
Or July.
It was. It was right after. So California locked down for a long time. And then as soon as it opened up, I took my wife and kids and we went on a road trip around California to, because I wanted my kids to see all the stuff in California. They usually just fly over, right? And then we got back from that. And then all of a sudden,
jump in the car and come to Tahoe.
Your people called and said, do you want to come up to Tahoe and make a Christmas movie?
And you were like, yeah, sure, let's do that.
And this is like, in the trenches of pandemic, right?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we were like maybe the, I mean, the movie I did with Mario Lopez that I directed for him was Feliz Navidad. And that was like right. That was like a minute before we shot Dear Christmas.
Right.
So the movie we did was Dear Christmas for Lifetime. And it was the perfect pandemic movie, though, because the one I did with Mario, we had already we were going to start it in March of 2020. And of course, the shutdown happened like the week before we started production.
Right.
So we held on that. And then when we did it, we had to make so many adjustments, and it was really difficult because there were big performances in it. But when Dear Christmas came about, it was being written, and we were able to adapt it and change it. There were, what, 6 speaking parts in the whole movie?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
So it made it so much easier.
Like 2 weeks of it we shot in a house, a big, beautiful house. And then I think we did like 1 week of running around to a few locations.
Yeah.
You learned how to glass blow. How'd you feel about that?
I really didn't learn how to blow glass.
You worked on it for a while, though. I remember you sitting there, like, rolling the thing.
Yeah, but, you know, there was... I have no knowledge of it whatsoever.
You couldn't go do it? You couldn't go make one of those glass hearts now? That glass... So there's this whole thing in the movie about these glass hearts that he's, like, a glass... I mean, you're, like, a jack of all trades, right? You're, like, a Christmas decorator guy and, like...
Tow truck driver.
That's how we first meet. He comes out
glass
and helps
blower, yeah. You know, you name it.
You're that guy in town.
Conducts the Philharmonic, you know, whatever.
He's Chris
whatever
Mass.
It takes.
That's who he was.
Chris Massey.
Yep, Mr. Christmas.
Remember that character name?
You can't forget that one.
That's so
I don't
good.
Remember mine. Maybe Holly or...
Oh, no.
Usually it's something like that. Noel or something.
That's
something.
The worst.
Yeah, usually super Christmassy, right?
Yeah, something very Christmas. There's only a handful of them. But
The other big thing I remember about that movie was in every frame, it looked like Christmas vomited all over
everywhere.
The set.
Everywhere.
Right?
Like too much.
It was pretty
Can you
ridiculous.
Really have too much?
We have 20 wreaths right here on this one 5x5 section of wall. Can we take like 3 down maybe? And my mom, who was the producer, was like, absolutely not. Got to be Christmas in every shot.
That's right.
All right, fine.
You were just Natalie Morgan, by the way, according
Natalie
to
Natalie Morgan, that was my name? Wait.
You
Natalie, like Natal, like that's the Italian
that's
for Christmas. Bon Natal, that's what you say in Italy for Merry Christmas. I don't know.
Yeah. Natalie Morgan, A-type personality, career-driven girl.
Podcaster
from New York City. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, you were the big town, big city girl, and you were the small town. I got you.
It was the formula.
It's a lot of every Christmas movie.
It's the formula. I get it. I support it. I love it.
It was the classic.
Oh, and of course, at the end, she has to figure out whether she's going to stay in the small town and be in love or go back to the big city and back to her career.
What did we decide?
It's such a conundrum.
Spoiler alert, I can't remember. Which one did we choose? Did you come with me or I stayed with you?
Well, I think you stayed in the small town.
I guess I stayed in the small town.
Yeah.
But we had an amazing cast because we literally had only 6 speaking roles. It was Ed Begley Jr., who I adore.
The best.
Faith Prince, who I've worked with numerous times, and she's amazing, played mom. Robin Givens played my boss, which she only worked like 1, maybe 2 days.
Yeah.
And then who played my sister, Whelan. Oh my gosh. Beautiful Australian actress. Oh my gosh. As the brain.
What's her name? I'm drawing
a blank,
name? Too.
Nikki Whelan? I don't know why I remember her last name and not her first name.
Nikki
but
from
we
the
had,
movie.
so much fun. I mean, that was it, really. Yeah. It was me, right?
Yeah, that
and
was it.
And then our first AD played her husband, who had to show up. Right. She's pregnant in the whole movie.
Nikki Whelan.
Nikki Whelan.
Nikki Whelan.
So Nikki Whelan's husband is played by our first AD, who was already on set with us. And Robin Givens' boyfriend ends up being my stepdad. So my real-life stepdad played her boyfriend in the movie. So no one knew came to set. It was like and we were just super enclosed, super tight. You know, we were like in our bubble, which we were supposed to be. And here's a little tidbit nobody knew. I had just for the first time gotten lip filler and like a lot of Botox before we shot this movie. When I watch this movie, I don't recognize myself at all, you guys. I'm horrified. But I told the director,
I love this.
I had never done it before, so I didn't know like what it would do to my face.
Right.
And I didn't like the way I looked. And I was like, listen, it'd be great if like in the beginning we didn't do too many extreme close-ups, like really close. She goes, it's a podcast. It's going to start on your lips on the microphone, the very first shot.
And they're luscious
in the podcast.
And full.
No, I'm like drooling. I can't close my lips. I'm drooling. I can't do that. And it was a very first shot is me like with these big lips, like talking into the microphone. It was. I don't know if you knew that, Jason, but
I did not.
I'm sure
that.
You knew my face looked a little wonky, but I'm not one to. I don't like messing with my stuff too much, but
I say bring on the Botox.
It was funny, but that glass place. I know that glass place. Every year now makes the hearts. It's a place in Reno.
Do they really?
Yeah. We'll try to post it. Or I usually post it.
That would be such a fun
when they post,
gift
I repost them. Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's
and
great.
And they'll only make, like, I think it's a really difficult thing to make. Like, hearts are really hard. Maybe red hearts, I don't know, are really hard to make. So they only make, like, 20 and they sell out like that. And usually because I buy them all. And I hand them out to people.
That's really fun. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So Dear Christmas.
That was Dear Christmas.
I'm sure it's replaying on Lifetime.
I think this year it is. It's replaying a few times. It's become like a fan favorite.
But you have like a whole Christmas movie roster that replays every Christmas. Do you not?
I do, actually. I just
posted
recently
about it.
There's a
list. Somebody tagged us in it.
How many Christmas movies have you done?
That depends on how far back you want to go. 1986, I did one called Christmas Snow with Sid Caesar and Katherine Hellman.
Yeah.
It takes place in the 1920s when plastics are just coming out.
Sid Caesar and Catherine Helm. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I know, in the time period of 86, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And I just knew him from Grease, and I knew her from Who's the Boss. But she played my adopted mom, and she had a candy store, and me and my adopted brother like helped out at the candy store. And we save like Sid Caesar from a grave. He falls into an empty grave, and we have to save him. I don't know. It's really cute.
Why
it's
is that a thing in Christmas movies? Let's talk about that for a second, because A Christmas Story, you know, or the Christmas Carol in general, doesn't at some point Scrooge see himself in an empty grave?
Oh yeah, he sees himself at the end, dead.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
So this is like a thing.
I think they might have stolen it from there, because he is Scrooge and he does fall into a grave. So maybe, yeah. I don't know. But you know what was great about that one? We shot in Vancouver.
Oh, right.
In your home country.
That's right. My hometown.
In your home? Oh, Vancouver's your hometown?
Yeah,
for some reason, I thought it was Toronto.
No, I'm actually from Vancouver.
Oh.
A lot of people assume I'm from Toronto.
You work in Toronto.
I spend
a lot
of time in Toronto.
Yeah, you're going to be there next week, in fact. You're going to miss my ugly sweater party.
Yeah, sorry.
We have a token Canadian.
I like your ugly sweater party.
I know.
It's
your
fun.
Wife and daughter are coming, so we're going to have some fun.
Are you not coming this year?
I'm going to be back in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
But I did love Vancouver. That was my first trip there. I was 10, and I remember me and my stand-in would go eat. Every day we would get bubblegum ice cream at Baskin-Robbins. And it's the first time I ever had salt and vinegar potato chips.
Ooh.
And I hated them at the time, but now I'm like addicted.
I was going to say,
at the time, as a little kid, it's like gross.
That's my daughter's favorite.
You didn't get into like the Canadian filet, like ketchup potato chips
No, I did that when I was in Ottawa this summer working. And I was like, that's disgusting. Do you like those?
Oh, I love ketchup flavored
potato
chips.
They're so good.
You know what the best ones are? Ruffles does a chip called All Dressed.
Oh,
Canada.
Yeah.
Unbelievably
good. No,
that's
disgusting.
So good.
Look, that's our token Canadian
gosh,
right
the
there,
best,
Jay.
Oh, my right? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What
all
is
dressed?
All Dressed? What flavor is All Dressed?
It's every flavor.
Ranch.
It's fantastic. No, ranch.
It's all the dressings, right? Isn't it dressing?
It's not like sour cream and onion. It's dill pickle.
Ooh.
It's ketchup.
Oh, dill. I do like dill.
A little bit of barbecue on the dill pickle.
See, that's
chips
that's
awesome
my problem.
Too.
I don't like barbecue. And I think that's also why I don't like the ketchup. The ketchup reminds me a little bit of barbecue.
What?
Yeah.
Who
yeah,
are
I don't
you?
Like barbecue chips. Barbecue potato chips hurt me. They're just gross. Sorry, they're gross.
I'm so sad for you.
Well, next time you're north of the 49th, guys, get a bag of All Dressed potato chips.
We will.
There's also a company in Nova Scotia that called Covered Bridge, and they make potato chips. They make these chips called Storm Chips, and it's in the bag there are sour cream and onion chips, and there are dill pickle chips. It's all
like
the
jelly
flavors.
It's the
jelly beans of potato chips. They're so good.
I think I would love this.
I think that's disgusting and scary because you never know what you're going to get.
I'm going to get some of those, and we're going to do it here. Melissa, try this.
Oh. We did an episode where it was Melissa tried that because I had never even tried peanut M&Ms before. So
what?
I don't know. I'm like a 5-year old.
That's sacrilege.
I stick with what I know, and I don't really like to explore.
Which is not
foods,
true though, because I almost choked some this morning of the best meals of my life with you, and you have made me try things.
Yeah,
so
it's weird. Like, but if I had it as a child, I'll eat it. Like, if I had I had a lot of like Indian food or escargot or caviar when I was young. And if I tried it once, and I was around a lot of shellfish and seafoods because of my dad being like a lobsterman and a fisherman. And so if I was around it a lot as a child, then I like it now. But I don't like explore new things as an adult. Like, I'm good.
What are you afraid of?
Gross food. Vomiting? I don't know. Wait, we have to talk about so many things. I have us on a timer. We're going to stick to 45 minutes, you guys. We have 33 left.
Is it going to bark at us again?
I don't think it's going to bark. I think it's going to do some weird sound because I used it in the shower this morning. I was making a pie. So while I was showering, I had
so many questions.
I know.
So many questions.
This is what ADHD looks like.
No, I'm going through my brain process, but I don't explain the whole thing.
Wait a minute. You were making a pie in the kitchen. You put the pie in the oven. You set the timer on your phone. And decided to go upstairs and take a shower.
Tried to hurry.
Because you got 25 minutes.
But I was still in the shower when the stupid alarm starts going off. And I'm trying to yell at Siri to turn it off. Siri's not as smart as Alexa. I don't know if you guys agree here, but...
No, the only one that I actually think is kind of smart sometimes is the Google one.
Oh, yeah.
I have that one in my car.
I have that one in LA. I like that one.
Hold on. You tried to get Siri to turn off the oven?
No, I just wanted her to turn off the alarm.
What?
No, I just wanted her to turn off the alarm on my phone because it was driving me crazy as I'm showering.
Right.
And I was like, hey,
your pie's burning.
Hey, Siri, turn it off. I was trying everything. Cancel timer, end alarm. I tried everything.
So what sort of shape was the pie in when you finally got back to it?
It was fine because it turns out it was a little undercooked, so it needed the extra time. It was totally fine.
Okay, all right.
But so anyway, I don't know what the barking... Oh, look, now she's trying to talk to me.
Can I ask,
say her name.
Can I ask?
She won't go off. Go away. Off. End. Hey, Siri, go away. I can't get her to stop, you guys.
I think you just hit the button.
I tried.
Everyone's phones and whoever listens
canceled.
To this, their phones are going to be
freaking out. I don't
know what
that means. Okay, yeah, that's true. Amanda, do you have a vision for your new year? Like, is there a goal you've been working toward for a long time? Or are you switching things up in 2024?
Probably going to switch things up because I am terrible about New Year's resolutions, but I can see clearly now because my pair is on.
You've got your pair eyewear? It brings everything into focus, right?
Yes. I'm looking into 2024 with 2020 vision.
There you go. I love that. And pair eyewear, their base frames start at just $60. So you guys, this is awesome. What's awesome about pair, and I'm wearing mine right now, is that you get the base frames for $60 and then you pop on top frames. It's magnetic. You can put on sunglasses over. You can have blue blockers in them. You can pop on a little Christmassy one or a little New Year's one or a little whatever your...
The sparkle into the new year.
A little sparkle. Just, I've got pink sparkle. I've got ombre, like an ombre, beautiful blue.
And you've got these new... Sunnies. Too.
I've got the sunnies. Mine go dark. Actually, my pair eyewear goes dark when I go outside. Like it becomes like a sunglass. That's also my glasses when I hit the
new.
Sun. Yes.
Do you love that?
I forget what it's called, but it's like it changes color when you hit the sun.
Oh,
it's
now
awesome.
I need to log on and get some more. Guess I'm going to use my own discount.
Yeah, there you go. Use your own discount. You can get a curated selection of base frames for men, women, kids, and it starts at $60. That includes wide frames to fit every face. So find your right fit from home with a virtual try-on.
Which is so cool. You can personalize your look with all the different looks, but also it's affordable. And you can use your FSA or HSA or insurance reimbursement to purchase your base frames, which is super cool.
Yeah, and you just switch up your look in a snap with top frames that start at just $25. They're built for everyday durability and versatility.
I just love them. So visualize a fantastic new year with Pair Eyewear. Go to PairEyewear.com and use the code BINGE, B-I-N-G-E, for 15% off your first pair.
There's free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. So go to PairEyewear.com, use the code BINGE, BINGE for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning our show, What Women Binge.
That's pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code binge.
And don't forget, WWB in your post-checkout survey. Wait, I had to ask you a question because I was looking through your Wikipedia this morning to see what I didn't know about you. So you're from Vancouver. I'm from Long Island. And did you do a movie called Love and Death on Long Island?
I sure did, yeah.
Where did you shoot
that? I did. We shot that in Nova Scotia, actually.
No, that's not Long Island.
In and around Halifax.
It probably looks a lot like Long Island, then.
It does, very much so, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's not that far away.
What is it about? Are Long Island people like me?
Love and Death on Long Island is a really interesting movie. It was based on a book of the same title, and it was about, so John Hurt played a guy named Dayoth, and he is widowed at the beginning of the movie, and so he's a total Luddite, right? Like, he doesn't understand, you know, the modern world that we live in because he was old. And he stumbled across this young actor kid in this movie. He was watching really stupid movie, like, you know, College Hot Pants, you know. and he found himself attracted to this young, pretty man. And so he started getting obsessed with it and like did all this research and figured out where he lived and went to the small town where he lived on Long Island. And anyway,
we call this stalking.
Nowadays, I don't know if that kind of movie would. I mean, look, the movie was an examination of love and of celebrity and of fame and of obsession. But it was also super, super heartfelt. And it was a great project to work on. I had a great time with John.
How long ago was this?
Oh, when did we shoot that movie? I was probably 25.
Okay.
26, so like 94.
It's like 4 years ago?
94.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just a few years ago.
Oh, cool. All right. I'm going to have to check this out. It sounds really interesting, especially since it's from my place and my people. Oh my gosh. Now my phone's making all sorts of notes. Oh, it's copying everything I say.
Put it down.
Oh my gosh. Guys, seriously.
Okay. We have to revisit.
You're more technologically challenged than I am.
I don't know what's
shocking.
Going on. I am like out of my mind today. I think the holidays coming up has just made me lose my mind. There's just too much, like cards, parties, baking,
lists
pies while you're in the shower.
Do you currently have going?
Oh, so many. How many? What Christmas movies I have to watch, what Christmas cards I have to send, what, you know, gifts I have to wrap. Oh, I have this great thing called the Christmas List, this app that I've had for years. And you can delete it every year and archive it. But then the people are still there and you like write down whether you've shopped it, wrapped it and given it. And like you can put in a budget. It's awesome. Highly recommend. Oh.
I'm
not either.
I'll show you it later.
You take Christmas very seriously. Ooh. That's why you've made so many Christmas movies.
Probably.
Is Christmas your favorite holiday?
Any theme. No, I just like themes.
Okay.
I just like themes in general, I think, yeah.
Is Halloween your favorite holiday?
No, that's your wife's favorite holiday, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Her makeup tutorials and, like, what she does to her, like, what was she this year for Halloween?
She was, but like a burn victim, she burned half her face, and she was like a Girl Scout who fell into the campfire.
Oh, the fire pit.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. So wait, how do you feel when you see her? Like, do you see the progress, or do you just see the before and after?
No, I see the progress.
He's probably there having to like glue prosthetics to her face.
I love the one she did last year where she painted herself to look like a Van Gogh painting.
Oh yeah,
and then had her ear cut off and her ear hanging.
Yeah,
it was pretty awesome.
Did she go to school for? Well, we'll have to have her on and talk to her about this. But yeah, she went to school for makeup.
Yeah,
because she is really talented.
Yeah, she's really good.
And just normal everyday life. When she walks into a room, it is like...
Whenever we go out to dinner together, I'm always like, watch out, Mark, watch out, Jason. I'm sitting next to Naomi. I just want to stare at her neckline. She has the most amazing jawline.
The first time I ever met her was at Melissa's ugly sweater party. And Melissa, this was, our first year at her party.
I don't know if Jason knows this story.
Okay. This is just the greatest thing of all time. So Melissa has this thing where whenever her celebrity friends come around, her normal human friends, she never warns us. She never gives anybody a heads up because it's completely normal to her.
Right.
She doesn't understand that to some people it is Shocking. So she invites all of the our girlfriends and the parents from school and everybody to this party and gives no one any forewarning that you and Naomi are coming.
Oh, right.
So I will never forget this moment.
My neighbors.
Right.
That you guys walk in and it was like all of the air had been sucked out of the room.
It was a movie moment.
It was an audible gasp.
Jason, I've never outside of the movies ever had a moment like this. I was facing into my kitchen. You walked in the living room behind me and all of a sudden I just hear everyone go.
It was literally
it was silent.
Out loud.
Everyone's staring. I look behind. I'm like thinking the tree's on fire or something. I slowly turn around and there you are standing there like, and you don't know anybody. You're like, you just moved to town. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hi. And I was like, oh, it's Jason.
And Melissa automatically just goes into introducing him and Naomi to everybody. And it got very comfortable very quickly.
So funny. They freaked out.
Every 30 and 40-year-old woman was just like.
And I was like, oh, sorry. They were like,
and it wasn't
to tell
just that Jason Priestley was
coming.
There. It was this, like, glamazon, like, oh, I don't yeah, even her, know how to yeah, describe I mean, her otherwise. I mean, just, like, angelic.
Well, I think you need to real quick tell us the story of how you guys met. I love that story.
We met walking down the street one night in London. I was in London doing a play in the West End. And I had left the theater with a bunch of my castmates and we were walking over to Joe Allen's, of course, because that's where you go after the theater. And Naomi and I were standing on a street corner waiting for the light to change.
Stop. Yeah. So it was just like
total.
And you like grabbed her by the arm. What'd you do? You like grabbed
no,
her and
no,
said,
no,
you need
no,
to know her?
No. No, that would
you can't that, do that.
That would get you canceled.
That'd
be
bad.
You can't do that.
Bad.
I said, I just she was how do I say this? She was, you know, she had her hands on her knees and she was like she'd been out drinking with her friend.
Oh, no.
Okay.
And
so she was in rough shape.
And so I said to her, I said, are you feeling okay? And she looks up and she goes, do you know if there's a toilet around here?
And it was love at
and
first
it was,
sight.
And love at first sight. She had me a toilet.
That's so funny. That's so
I love
great.
That. Yeah, but it's so cute. You guys like felt like it was love at first sight, and her accent. That's the other thing.
Oh.
Like, not only is she stunning, but then the accent, the way she speaks, and you're like, oh God, she's like perfect. She's so yes. perfect.
She's gonna love watching this podcast.
I know. We're just feeding any ego that's there. Although I don't even think she has an ego. I think she might be the most humble
oh, no,
person
of course.
In the world.
I caught her painting their mailbox the other day, and we like chatted for a while she was painting the mailbox.
Oh my God, so funny.
But wait, of course we have to talk about your show, 90210.
Uh-huh.
Only because, not because it's like, you know, I mean, everybody would be mad at me if I didn't ask you about it, but I've told you this before, like when I was on Clarissa,
yeah.
The only show I ever watched, it was my only appointment. It was the only night I could watch television.
Right.
Wednesday nights, right? It was the only night that I knew I had a schedule when I was going to be home at like 6 p.m. I would make myself a big bowl of cookie dough. And I would, like, if any girl was on the show that week, I'd be like, do you want to come over? You want to watch 90210? You want to sleep over? You want to make cookie dough? Or you want to? And it was, like, the only show I got to watch every week. And it was, like, my escape from my reality. And I just love watching that show. And I wonder, like, what's your, I'm sure you've heard this question a billion, zillion times, but what's your favorite memory from it?
Oh, that's, what's my favorite memory?
Or give us three.
Narrow it down.
I don't know if I got three. We had a ton of fun making that show. I think I enjoyed the couple of years we spent working at the beach in Santa Monica and all that beach club stuff that we did. There was something about just, you know, getting out of the valley where we shot the rest of the show and actually,
yeah.
You know, going to the beach and spending our days at the beach. I mean, it was hard work. Working on sand is difficult all
yeah.
the time. But we had a lot of good times down there at that beach club.
And you guys all became really close as a cast pretty much, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course we did. We were all,
family.
You know, yeah. And we spent more time with each other than we did.
Yeah.
With anybody
with
else.
With anybody else. Yep, absolutely.
You know how that is.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? You like you may be married or have a mom, you know, living with your mom still or whatever, but you're like spending more time with these people
yeah.
than you are, you know, at home. For me, it was always that I became close with the cast for sure, but I felt like my best friends were always the crew. Like
yeah.
I feel like makeup, hair, wardrobe, those are the people that are with you every day no matter what, and the actors are only there for individual scenes, But, and then, you know, rehearsals and whatnot. But, like, I feel like the makeup and hair people were the people that I probably spent the most amount of time with.
Right.
And became my very best friends. And even the grips and cameramen, because I'd be sitting on the camera yep. in between takes and hanging out.
Yeah, we had, I don't know how the continuity was on your various shows, but on 90210, we had a lot of continuity every year with the same people coming back year yeah. after year after year, and that made us all like one big family, right? Yeah. Which is really, it's cool. It's, you know, I always try to replicate that on the yeah. shows I'm doing now, right?
It's hard once you have something like that to like replicate it, but once you have the kind of the model for it, it's easier done, but it's never quite the same as I feel like the first time. But you've had two other shows recently, right? So you
we did four seasons of Call Me Fitz, the HBO show I did.
Was that in Toronto as well?
No, that was back in Halifax.
Oh, okay.
Well, not in Halifax, but in Nova Scotia, just outside of Halifax. And then I did five seasons on Private Eyes, the show that I shot in Toronto.
Did that just end?
Yeah, that just ended.
Like a year ago.
About a year ago, yeah.
And now, what are you going off to Toronto? Can you tell us what you're going off to Toronto?
Oh, I'm just going to Toronto for a big event on Saturday night.
You just try to get away from
the Canada's Walk of Fame inductions.
Are you in the Walk of Fame?
I've already been inducted. But
we can go to Toronto. It's nice.
you can.
I love it.
I don't know how many people actually do, but two of my friends are getting inducted this year, so I'm gonna go up.
Who are the friends? Are we allowed to know?
Michael Budman and Don Green.
Oh, okay.
The guys who own Roots.
Oh, very cool.
The clothing company, the Canadian clothing company.
Oh my God, I wore Roots on this show just a few days ago.
There you go.
Should have done that today for you and your Canadian-ness.
You didn't know.
Oh my gosh. So tell us real quick, I want to know, for Fitz and for Private Eyes, tell us the storylines for those that don't know. Sum up like five seasons in, right?
Yeah, right. In 30 seconds, go. Call Me Fitz was about a used car salesman, a family of used car salesmen, and Fitz was a guy who, had no moral compass at all, drinking, drugs, women, whatever, you know what I mean? He was the perfect used car salesman. And the episodes were, really interesting because they're complex, and we shot the show in a very specific style. It was very stylized, and it's funny, man.
Yeah,
it is fun because you know playing a character like that, there's no rules.
Yeah,
and I sort of ended up in a game of chicken with the writers' department, where you know they would write scripts thinking there's no way Priestley's going to agree to do this, and I'd be like, all right, let's do this, come on. And so it became a very high stakes game of chicken,
especially after playing Brandon, right?
Yeah,
like, I feel like he was so buttoned up and the good boy.
It's probably fun to let loose in some of those roles sometimes, try things you'd never really do in real life.
100%. It was good. And then Private Eyes was, you know, typical blue sky two-hander. You know, a guy and a girl, and they're, you know, it was like a modern version of Moonlighting.
I was going to say Moonlighting, right? Yeah.
Or Remington Steele. Like it was, so those were our sort of touchstones.
For me, like, because I did, like, Clarissa was a really fun character for me, like very kind of out of the norm, very cool girl. Like I liked her. Sabrina though was a little too buttoned up, kind of like probably Brandon, and just felt like I was the one trying to hold it all together. But then when I got to do Melissa and Joey, I got to be kind of the lush, the lust, the, you know, all the sins, and it was so much fun. And I always say that was my favorite role. Would you say?
Yeah, I love playing Richard Fitzpatrick. Yeah. He was super fun, and just like the whole shooting of that show was fun too, because we're in this small town in rural Nova Scotia, and it was really beautiful. And my kids were small enough to just come with me.
That's what I was going to ask. Then, that's a difference.
Yeah.
Like when your family can come with you. So they didn't come with you for Private Eyes. Were you living here for part of Private Eyes? You were living here, right?
Yeah. Private Eyes ended right as we moved here.
As we moved here, okay.
But yeah, they were already in school. So like when I was shooting Private Eyes, I was just constantly on that Air Canada flight going to and from.
Yeah, that's tough too. Because you're always feeling like for me, like I did it for Clarissa when I was little, of course. So I was away from my immediate family and working. But then when you have kids, it's like a whole different thing, right?
Yeah.
Like I was going back and forth between Connecticut and LA for Melissa and Joey, and just you never feel like you're doing any of it right. Like, you're not working. I'm not working hard enough because I'm missing my kids. And then when I'm with my kids, I feel guilty because I have to like take a red eye back and try to be awake for work tomorrow. And, you know, I feel like it's a tough situation.
Was Melissa and Joey, and I remember talking to Joey about this at the Monte Carlo TV Festival, I think. But we were, but it, was that a 1090 show? Is that how your pickup went for that? Like, you did 10 episodes, and then if they wanted to pick it up again, they had to pick up 90 episodes.
No.
Okay.
No, we did, no, that wasn't that kind of show. We did, God, I think we got full season pickups. I think it was weird because it was ABC Family, so it was cable. I can't remember.
So it was 13 episodes.
Oh, you know what
pickups?
It was? It was almost like, it was normally, yeah, it was like, it was almost 13 episode pickups, although it would be, I want to say they blocked it out differently. We ended up with 104 episodes or 103.
That's great.
But it was, yeah, but it was over, but they kept calling seasons like, this is 3A and 3B.
Oh, right, yeah.
Right? So it was like this weird, you know, could never get to season 4 because then you have to pay everybody more.
Right.
This is their cheap way out. This is what Disney started this MO with Disney Channel. And so then everybody started using it. And everybody still uses it. Like, Netflix still pretty much uses it, where you don't have to pay people if you don't get to that fourth season. So you take like something like The Suite Life with Zach and Cody, and you make it The Suite Life on Deck, and all of a sudden you got a new show and you're starting everybody at base salaries. So instead of getting like fourth season where writers and actors get to make more and renegotiate, all of a sudden you're starting it as a new show.
Wow.
And so they tried to do that a little bit.
Which is why there was a strike.
Exactly, because we had to straighten some crap out.
Like, yeah.
But your friend became, how was that to have a friend who goes off
who's
and
the
becomes
president
the president
of the union?
Yeah, not currently, but she was previously.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, I've definitely had a hotline to the to the boss.
You're like, what's going on? Yeah. How come my healthcare sucks?
That's right.
Of course, we're talking about Gabrielle. We're not talking about Frank Drescher here. But yeah, that must be interesting because when I met her at the 90s con this last time in Tampa. And Jenny, by the way. Jenny was the one I always thought I was always like, I want to be Jenny. I want to be Jenny Garth.
She came home so starstruck. She's like, I met Jenny Garth.
I was hanging out. I almost punched Brian Austin Green in the face because we almost got in a fight.
No.
Not in the bar, but he was just being like rowdy. Hey, Amanda, did you know that 60% of our bodies are made out of water?
I did know that.
So if you're like me, you probably don't trust your tap water and you might want to find another solution. And you know what that is?
What is it?
It's Aqua True.
Oh.
Having safe, clean water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in its tap water.
And we obviously want our kids to grow up strong and healthy.
Yes, and being hydrated is super important to me.
Especially in these hot months here.
Yeah, we're still in a heat wave here, and we got a few more ahead of us. And I mean, you know, you want the kids to be healthy. You want to stay hydrated. I work out a lot. You work out a lot. We sweat a lot. You want to stay hydrated, and it's super important. That's why you got to check out Aqua True. Aqua True purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing.
They have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free, like you said, countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier with a mineral boost option.
Yeah, Aqua True removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and are specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply.
That's so interesting. And the filters are affordable. They last a long time. There's no changing them every 2 to 3 months. The Aqua True filters last from 6 months to 2 years.
That's a good amount of time. I love that. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste, which you know I love.
Yes, I do.
Well, Aqua True comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. So today, our listeners will receive 20% off any Aqua True purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code WWB at checkout.
That's right. 20% off any Aqua True water purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the code WWB.
Thank you, Aqua True, for being a sponsor of What Women Binge. And I was like, and he kept putting his finger in my face or something. I said, put your finger in my face again. I'm going to sucker punch you in the throat. And he was like, wow, okay. like, but he's funny. But he was on Sabrina. He was my first friend in LA, Brian.
Was he really?
Yeah, because we did like this Nickelodeon cruise thing right before I moved, and I knew I was moving to LA, and I was like a little scared, and I remember being on this boat and talking to him, and he was really, really sweet, and we just talked all day. We were like stuck on this like ferry boat going around the Statue of Liberty like all day long, And we just, I remember just hanging off the edge and just talking to him.
Why?
It was part of this like party. They were videotaping it and he and I didn't have to do that much, but like when they would call us over to do the thing and then we'd have some time. And so we'd just be chatting. And I was like, I'm moving to LA. And he's giving me all these tips. Okay, you got to do this and you got to go here and you got to, and we're going to take you here. And he became like my first buddy in LA.
That's awesome.
And then somewhere along the way, we lost touch maybe a year into me living there, probably around 19. Well, he came on, he was like on our third episode of Sabrina.
Right.
Because we had to build the perfect man out of Mando. And if you ask the women who play my aunts, Beth and Caroline, this is their favorite episode because they got to build like their dream man. So my dream man was Brian. So it was funny. I was like, hey, you know, we were casting the part. We need a guy made out of Mando. Melissa, who do you want? I'm like, oh, my new friend, Brian. Can we put him in? So he got to come on.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. But
super fun. It's always fun when you get to work with your friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For sure. And I love that, like, about, like, casting them. You directed, like, a bunch. You've directed Luke Perry in a movie, right?
I did.
Or show?
I started directing back in 93 on Beverly Hills 90210. I directed 15 hours, 17 hours of that show.
Love that.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and I work as a director a lot.
Yeah.
Which is fun. It's good. It's good.
You did one recently. Didn't you do one? Or since we did Dear Christmas, I remember you leaving to direct some things.
Well, I directed a documentary. On the very mercurial owner of the Toronto Maple Leafs, he owned the team from 1972 to 1988. His name was Harold Ballard, and so we made a documentary about him and his life and his legacy.
Wow,
which was super fun. What else have I directed?
Oh wait, I know one. This is a fun fact I did not know about you that I found on Wikipedia this morning. Is it true that you kind of discovered Bare Naked Ladies?
Wait, what?
No, I didn't discover Bare Naked Ladies.
This would be a fun fact.
They give you credit for it. You helped launch them.
I helped break that band in America because they couldn't. They were all complaining to me one night. We were out for dinner, and they were complaining about the fact they were spending all this money on these music videos, and they couldn't get them on MTV or VH1, or you know, they couldn't get any exposure in America. And so I was,
Are they your fellow Canadians?
They are fellow Canadians.
Okay.
Yes, from outer Scarberia.
Is that a real place?
Scarborough, Ontario. Yeah.
Okay.
They call it Scarberia.
I was like, wait, that's a name?
I like it.
but so we were having dinner, and I'm sure we'd probably had too much to drink. And I said to them, I said, you know what? I'm going to direct your next music video and I'm going to make it awesome. And then I'm going to march it into MTV and VH1 and I'm going to lay it on their desk and say, check this out, guys. I said, I'm going to fix this for you guys. And six months later, there I was in Toronto directing the music video for The Old Apartment. And when I was done with it, I walked it into MTV and VH1 and said, you guys got to check this out. And they started airing the video.
Did you put some friends in it? How did you you literally just walked it in but your face isn't in it either.
Nope.
So you just believed in the music, shot it, and then basically went and promoted it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
That's very cool, right?
Yeah, it was.
And then the other cool thing that I love about you is your race car driving past.
Right, yeah.
Because I have a little bit of a race car driving past, not quite like yours.
Well, did you win the Long Beach Celebrity Grand Prix?
I did it three times, but okay. I never won. but then they called me, but then I raced with Ian Ziering in... DC at the, it was called the, it was one of the Panos races, the American Grand Prix, I think it was. And so we were in, he and I were teamed up.
In DC or in Atlanta?
In DC.
Right.
That was something else. DC was something else. I mean, Panos, Atlanta was something else. DC was where I was with Ian, and we were paired up in some sort of a relay race. I forget what kind of car we were. No, I think we were racing Panos there.
Right.
At the World Grand, or the American Grand Prix. I don't think they do this race anymore, because I tried to look it up recently, because we were actually with Steve Harwell from Smash Mouth.
Yep.
So I was looking that up recently and remembered that Ian was there. And he and I were partners on that. So at the 90s con, again, he and I were like, I was like, remember? He's like, we lost. I'm like, no, we won. I think we won the race. I don't think there's any way to verify it. But
well, clearly you won in your mind, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. And that's went to Atlanta. I did race at Road Atlanta. That was my favorite. But were you friends with like Patrick Dempsey and during his whole time during that? No?
No.
Because you guys kind of ran in the similar circles, it sounds like, but not.
Yeah, I think he came, he started racing at a high level after I retired, I think.
Okay. Because you had a big accident, right?
I had a big crash back in 2002.
And then you didn't really race since.
Not much. I retired about a year after that.
Okay. But you did you own a team and Max Pappas was the driver?
I did, yeah. Yeah, Rubicon Racing. We owned that team for a couple of years. And that was fun. Yeah, Max is a great guy.
Max is one of the racers that I got to know from the Toyota Grand Prix. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, he's a lovely guy.
I love that world. I tried to create a sitcom based on that world, but then Netflix did it. I'll just say they did it.
What show was that? Who was in it?
They called it. Well, I wanted to call it The Pits.
Right.
Because I wanted it to be about the pits. It was a Kevin James show. It became a Kevin James.
Oh, I remember that show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I'm just not going to.
I want to revisit.
We're not going to talk about it. We'll talk later.
And did okay? Do you feel like somebody stole your concept?
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Definitely. Like, yeah.
That's kind of like a thing. I just didn't want to sue Netflix. That happens a lot, right?
It does happen quite a bit, but
it's not supposed to. I mean, there are protections built into everything in your union is supposed, your guild is supposed to protect you.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, but
if you had it registered with the WGA, you could have.
I mean, I did, but I think it expired. I don't know.
Womp, womp, womp.
But anyway, we
have to
revisit
hockey.
Nobody wants to hear us talk about business.
Hockey.
Yeah,
oh, because he's Canadian.
Well, no, because was it a movie or a show that you just released in Sweden?
That's a miniseries it was a miniseries about Boris Salming, who's the first Swedish-born hockey player inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was a remarkable guy and really a trailblazer, like changed the way that people in North America looked at European hockey players. He was one of the first Swedes or one of the first Europeans ever to come and play in the NHL. Anyway, his story is phenomenal, and I did this 6-hour Swedish miniseries.
Wow, is it broken into 6 episodes?
Yeah, it's six one hours. And so I went over to Stockholm last week, and we did a premiere. We watched the first 2.5 episodes. I did not have to speak Swedish.
Okay.
I played a Canadian.
I was about to be very,
actually,
very impressed.
I played a Canadian in the.
Did they all speak Swedish?
Oh yeah.
And you just spoke English.
Yeah. So
how did you know your cues?
Well, there's a bunch. No. It wasn't. No, I was speaking. The thing about Sweden is everybody over there speaks English.
Right.
It's remarkable. Yeah. So it was. When I was doing scenes with people, they were speaking English. And so it wasn't as hard as the movie I did in France last year, where I had to speak French, and I'm there with all these French actors who are passing the puck around. They're all talking light speed, which they do, and I'm just waiting for the cue word so I can throw in my line of French. It was
what was your line?
It was
give me one of them. Can you remember any of them?
No.
The anxiety. I would just.
There were, and because I'm a Canadian, I can speak a little bit of French, but
a little Quebecois.
Yeah, Mrs. Huxley, my Quebecois French teacher in high school, didn't do me any favors. anyway, I love you, Mrs. Huxley. But it was like every day was super tense for me, and it was, and I was always on edge and always just trying to catch up to it, right? But it was, but the movie actually turned out really well.
Cool.
That movie is called Mort sur la Piste.
Oh, look at you in your French accent.
Ooh la la.
Death on the Racetrack.
Oh, all right. Yeah. And what's the Swedish
one? Well, what's the Swedish one? It's called Boria, The Journey of a Legend.
Okay. And that's out now? Can people find that?
Yeah, you can find that on Viaplay, which is this Swedish streaming service where they air Swedish content.
Is it in Swedish or it's in English?
It's in English and Swedish.
Oh, it's in both. So you can watch it in English.
Yeah.
Did you guys have to do it both? No. Did you?
No, because when the Swedish people would be talking Swedish to each other and they have English subtitles.
Okay.
And when the English people are speaking in, they had a Swedish subtitle.
Okay. That's so cool.
I just wanted to clarify that. Okay. That makes sense.
You don't speak Swedish, you can watch it.
You can still watch the movie.
So go watch
100%.
It.
Boria. Wait, how do you spell that? B-O-R-I-A?
B-O-R-J-E.
J-E. Okay. All right, wait, we have some questions that we ask everybody that comes on. And I need to, we've covered all our things, guys. I love and death on Long Island, race car driving, bare naked ladies. We're there.
Look at us.
We did.
Wow.
We did good. Hold on, wait, I have to find our questions.
Let me ask you, how long do you think we've been going?
I think
40 minutes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Is it?
But Melissa doesn't have a sense of time.
I've actually been watching the clock.
And what happened to your alarm? How come your alarm
it's
never
not going
went
off yet?
Did you turn it
gone off?
Off
yet?
It's maybe I turned it off, you guys. No, wait. Yeah, I turned it off. What the hell happened? Oh, because I told Siri to stop and she said it's canceled.
Right.
She canceled my freaking timer. What a bitch. wait, I can't find the questions.
I've got them here.
Yeah, your Siri is not helpful at all.
I'm really having a lot of difficulties today.
Yeah. The technology.
I almost choked on the way here.
Right?
I almost choked on the way here, you guys. I had a biscuit and bacon. Not a recommended great workout, post-workout
meal.
Shove it in your mouth in the car on the way
there
here.
There was protein
I had
and just, carbs.
I know, that's You're why I was like, as long bases. As I have the protein, but it's bacon, right? It's not like real protein. Come on. I didn't have time to make an egg, but I was like, I started to like choke in the car and had to do like a sweep of the throat, like of my own like baby. Don't ask me if I ate the biscuit and bacon after I choked it up.
Oh, gosh.
I was hungry. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Jason, do you have a hidden talent?
Do I have a hidden talent?
Like, can you tie cherries, stems, and knots or something like that?
No. No, I don't.
You don't have a hidden talent at all? You're just going to say no?
I don't think
okay,
so.
Fine. Let's move
like
on.
Like, none?
Anything I'm good at, I'm just showing to the world because there's only a couple of things.
That's true. As actors, we do kind of have to do that because, like, as soon as you get on a show, they make you write a list of what can you do? I'm like, I can kind of speak French. I can kind of play the flute. I can kind of ice skate. Okay, let's put all those things
in. Wait, you can kind of play the flute?
I played the flute as a kid, yeah. So if you watch Clarissa or I think Sabrina, I'm playing the flute on both of them because like there's an episode based around like the fact that I could play the flute.
When I asked you what your hidden talent was, you did not
it's
answer,
not
I can play the
playing
flute.
The flute. I'll tell you that. It's not playing the flute. That is not a hidden talent. I might remember the B note.
Your talent is you can pretend to play the flute.
I can blow into it and make sound.
Better than
show me where to put my fingers and we'll figure it out. But
oh my god, that was like in our Christmas movie. So Chris Massey could play the guitar and sing
right.
and do all these things. And I was like, give me the guitar, I'll make it look like I can play.
I can act.
By the way, on that note, on Clarissa, we actually did an album. They made me go in the studio and record an album. I totally forgot about this until one of these cons where someone brought me it to sign.
Right.
And if you look at the cover of the album, I'm standing there holding an electric guitar, but I've got my fingers all the way around the frets. So obviously I didn't know how, and nobody bothered to tell me how to play that I should put my fingers on the strings, not wrap the whole neck in my hand.
Right.
Like, I look like I'm strangling a goose, an idiot. All right, do you have a favorite line from a movie? Just put you on the spot.
Yeah. Saigon. Shit. I'm still in Saigon.
That's a great one.
Name that movie.
It's a good one.
Name that film.
I was going to say Miss Saigon, but that's definitely not it.
From Apocalypse Now.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite hype song right now? Like something you get like, you know, that when you're like being a lumberjack and cutting wood.
No,
you know,
I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time with, I don't have a good walk-in song.
No. You're going to need one, I think.
Maybe. I'm so old though now. Like I feel like that's something for the younger
crazy
generation.
Crazy Train, like throw out some like Ozzy Osbourne.
Crazy Train.
What's your favorite song right now? Do you listen to a lot of music?
What's my favorite song right now? Whoa.
I hear most of mine at like football games Friday nights.
Life Itself by the Glass Animals.
I don't know that.
There are they Canadian see? Too?
No, they're English.
Oh, okay.
They're an English band.
Okay.
So look, you got all, like, you're Canadian, your wife's English, you live in Nashville.
Noted. I'm looking up the Glass Animals.
By the way, we both decided to move to Nashville at the exact, like, pretty much the exact same time while we were doing Dear Christmas, right? Like,
and
I was talking about.
You're basically next door neighbors, which is why.
I know. But I was like, I basically was, like, crying to Jason, like, my husband wants to move to the South. I think maybe I could do Nashville. He's like, you should do Nashville. Nashville's great.
Go to Nashville.
I'm going to go to Nashville, too. And then.
I'm just waiting for my kids to get out of school, and I'm going to Nashville, too. Yeah.
And then next thing you know, we both live here and close by. What would your last meal be?
Oh, boy.
Man,
these are tough. Like, you, what would my last meal be?
The last one's even harder.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Do we even ask him? I'm, like, nervous to ask him.
Pacing down the show right now. My last meal is going to be...
You don't have to say it in French.
That's really...
No pressure.
That's really odd.
Escargot and some brie.
She cut me off because I was like, how long can I spread out this meal?
I know. This girl was like picking every food she likes.
Oh, really?
I mean...
What was your last meal?
I wanted like Mexican food.
Yeah, you wanted the bunch of stuff.
What was it?
Oh, you're looking for a genre of food.
I just went with like, there's one thing I have to eat, I know I'm going to die tomorrow, I'm having a big slice of New York pizza.
Yeah, that's pretty
big,
good.
Big, cheesy, yeah. Hot slice of pizza. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think for my last meal, I would do an In-N-Out burger.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. I haven't had In-N-Out in a long time.
Neither have I. For years.
We're getting one here.
Maybe I'm just waxing.
They're opening one here in Nashville.
Oh, they really are.
Like soon, right?
Yeah, I think in Franklin.
Yeah. It's a little far, but I think I'll do it. It's closer than LA.
Oh, no, it's worth it.
You're over here.
It's worth it for the half hour.
Once a week anyway.
Maybe their offices. I don't remember. But yeah, it's somewhere here in
Maybe
Nashville.
If you ride your bike to it and then eat it and ride home, like it'll be like you can burn off the calories and then it's like totally worth it. What would your epitaph read? I told you it was tough.
Wow. He tried.
That's good.
That's a good one. Wait, your last meal wouldn't be, what's the stuff, the gravy you put on French fries up in Canada?
Poutine?
Poutine. No.
Poutine's pretty good.
That and ketchup chips? No. Can you put poutine on ketchup chips?
You could put ketchup chips on your poutine. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Like crumble it.
Yeah.
Wait, so double potato.
Yeah, that sounds like a redneck version of a Canadian thing.
Like a Canadian tuxedo?
Southerners can get on board with this.
All right, we got some this or that she'll ask you.
Okay.
Oh.
These are easier.
Okay. Yeah, much easier.
Hard pants or soft pants?
Pants?
loungewear or jeans.
Oh, okay.
Right. Hard pants.
Okay. Okay. I just needed some explanation. Hard pants.
Really?
Yeah.
He likes
I think
to
I
be.
I said hard pants, didn't I? No, you did not.
I didn't.
No,
I did. Okay. She's shocked.
Hold on. Here's how I'm not down with soft pants. For the first time ever, when I flew to Europe this time, I wore sweatpants. Usually, I just wear regular pants. But for the first time, I was like,
sweats?
You know, I think I can, I think I'm old enough now.
Yeah.
I think I can get
and
away with this.
A lot more acceptable. Like, don't you feel like
way more
flying
acceptable now.
10,
oh,
20 years ago, you had to be dressed up? Like, you used to have to get dressed up to go to Broadway. Now everybody goes in their freaking pajamas.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
Their fanny packs. I'm like, enough of that. That makes me mad. Sorry. I had a moment.
Is it the pajamas that make you mad or the fanny packs?
No, she loves pajamas.
Like, can we just like dress it up? This is the time to wear your best purse and your high heels.
What if I've got a Gucci fanny pack and I wear it across my chest?
That doesn't count. Just because it has a logo on it doesn't count. Because you could have bought that crap on like 6th Avenue and 10th Street. Like, let's not.
She's not wrong.
It's true. I mean, you could buy any of that stuff.
You can buy anything fake. Yeah.
So I was in Beijing, I don't know, about 20 years ago, and I bought a fake Rolex on the street in Beijing, and it ran for like 2 years before it blew up.
Nice.
I was like, dude, $20
well
spent. I'm good with this.
My sister had like one of the fake Chanel watches, and then I got a real one, and now she's mad at me.
So wait, what happened with the sweatpants?
But I'm
you rocked them in the...
It, no, it was... It, it, it,
you were
you
comfy?
Know what? I enjoyed it so much, I wore them back home, dude.
There you go. Did you wash them? Just kidding. I don't want to know.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, you have in-laws over there. You can do laundry. Right. I had to ask. Sorry. I don't know. I'm very crazy today. Where were we with this or that? Hard pants and stuff.
We only made it to one. Oh, my gosh. Go in or stay. Why do I mess this one up every time? The dyslexia.
Stay in or go out?
Yep, that one.
Stay in.
Barefoot or socks?
Socks.
Sleep in the buff or in PJs?
That depends.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Hot tub or cold plunge?
Hot tub.
That's all we got for this season.
Oh, boy.
We kept it easy.
Yeah.
We should add Peach Pit or Central Perk. No.
Aw. But I'm
right. Well, thank you for coming out.
All right, yeah, you got it.
Oh, wait, we have one more thing.
This is the best.
We have to judge you.
Oh, yeah.
You got
your how many, your little email thingy, Abby thing?
Yeah.
How many, what's the number in the red dot say?
Let's take a look here.
What do you got floating around?
That's how old, that's how cool my phone is. It doesn't tell.
No, you turned it off.
He's one of those. That's a whole new team.
You can turn that off?
I just found out you can turn that off because I was very concerned with the fact that my text messages weren't showing me how many.
Right.
And I found out that it's in notifications.
None of it does.
You turned off? Oh, my
gosh. He's team brain.
First of all, I'm so going to do that for
someone. Hold on. It's in the notifications?
I think it's in your notifications.
Yeah.
I just did this the other day because I got really upset about not seeing my text.
Notifications.
And then I think you have to go down to like mail.
Or if you just open your mail app, it'll tell you at the top.
Oh, that's true, too.
Oh, that's true. Okay. You want to know how many unread I have?
Yeah. Because we want to know if you're an Amanda person or a Melissa person.
It doesn't say.
Oh.
It doesn't say anywhere.
Oh, wait. Go back. Mailboxes.
Oh, there we go.
Ah.
That's how many are in my, folder.
Yeah.
It doesn't say how many I haven't read.
If you go to unread, though, there's unread. Unread's right here. Like 5 down, 6 down.
It doesn't say that.
Yours doesn't say it? What? That's insane.
Aren't we all on the same operating system?
That's so we crazy. Are, but they're
that
all.
That is so weird. You're
He's like an in-betweener.
You're on an Apple, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you not knowing. It's a Canadian thing. His VPN is not working correctly. Well, I'm at 136 right now, but what are you at, Amanda? Yeah, I'm
33,604.
You're not
unread.
Any progress?
Yes.
Wow.
But it's because...
Are you afraid of your email? Are you afraid of the phone?
I think that's a good way to put it.
No, so I read my emails every day.
Right.
But I don't open the ones that I don't care about. So
he also doesn't delete them, unsubscribe, like, any other things.
Yes, I do. I'm getting better about it.
Really? Because it doesn't seem like it.
Well, it's Christmas time, and so you're getting like 5 emails a day from all the people.
100%.
So I have been going through and unsubscribing.
Okay.
But...
We'll see what happens in January.
It'll be a whole new year. I'll just mark everything unread again, and we'll start fresh.
Okay. And then we're going to actually delete things, though, right? Sorry, I'm like momming her.
I feel like I'm in the middle of an intervention.
Every week is an intervention.
It literally is.
People at home are like, get it. Intervention.
Amanda won't do it. It's okay.
She won't love me for who I am.
No, I do. I do. I just want to help you organize just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, you got it.
And I'm sad you're going to miss the ugly sweater party, but your wife and daughter are coming.
I'm sure my family's going to be well represented.
They're going to rock the ugly sweaters. I can't wait.
It's going to be the best.
Well, Merry Christmas. Have a safe trip to Toronto. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And a fair warning for the cluster of women waiting outside the studio.
Uh-oh.